माल्यचन्दनभूषितम् राधाचित्तचकोरेन्दुं सौन्दर्य सुमहोदधिम् परात् परतरं देवं ब्रह्मानन्द कृपानिधिम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वाम् अनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेष्णी। Dear friends, in this eighth chapter that we have been studying, Lord is showing through Arjuna to all of us that how the concentration, meditation, thinking about God becomes the means of liberation from this place of suffering. This idea is again and again elaborated, but this eighth chapter is very important for the method given here, that you have to think of God in a concrete form devotionally. Devotionally means our mind needs to go there. And therefore, the symbols which naturally attract our minds, hold our minds, are suggested for this purpose. Think of God as a great wise person, as effulgent being, the substratum of everything, the governor, and so forth. And then it is said that if you constantly do this practice, gradually you will identify yourself with God, and thus you will become free as God. The identification is the more important thing here. Like we think of ourselves as bodies, identify ourselves with bodies, and therefore undergo everything that as bodies undergo, like birth and death, different types of transitions and sufferings, all the stages that the body goes through, I also go through because I identify myself with the body. Now imagine, just think, that you identify yourself not with this changing body, but with the changeless divine. What will happen? Now you do not undergo all these transformations. This is an important secret of liberation immortality. In fact, all that we seek in our lives depends on this, that what do we identify ourselves with? If we identify, there are people who identify, for example, with the house that they live in. And therefore, whatever happens to their house kind of happens to them. Then there are people who identify with not just their bodies, but the bodies of their relations, their children especially. It becomes a very common and psychologically a very binding thing for everyone to identify with the offsprings, children. And therefore, according to the state that the children are in, their mental stage also changes. Like if the children are happy, they are happy. If the children are not happy, they are not happy. And so forth, because of the identification. So our state of mind depends on what we get identified with. So now this gives us automatically a way to liberate ourselves. Instead of identifying with these things, identify with God, and then what will happen? Now, this same process, same logic, that now you do not then undergo birth or death. God is this, as we say, existence itself. So you are existence itself. Birth and death, they happen to the body, not to you. You are not then worried about that. It is, you are the storehouse of all bliss. You don't have to get bliss from things or contact with people. And now, because of our limited awareness, we feel that I have to get pleasure through the different contacts. But then, when you know that you are everything, then you don't have to do that. And how to come to that? Well, it is matter of practice. Practice means you keep on thinking about it as much as possible. Ideally speaking, all the time. All the time, think about it. And he has given the imagery for thinking and also the sound symbol, that Om. Think of Om while, or any mantra that is given to you by the Guru, think of God with that sound symbol associated with it. As you do it, the mind gradually absorbs it. And then your identification starts changing. This is something very practical, friends, that I mentioned in last Friday, I think, that you see the transition happening in life. The nice book by Swami Yatishwaranand, Meditation and Spiritual Life, gives how the transformation takes place. For example, in the beginning, we all feel, it is quite natural, that this world is real. All these things that I see, they are real as they appear to me. Although the evidence will suggest something contrary, our experience says that no, this wall, this body, all these people that I see, they are real as they appear. And God is, I imagine something, whether God is or is not, who knows? It is imaginary something. Now, when you start concentrating on God, what will happen? Now you will see that slowly the God will also becoming real. That yes, God is also real, world is also real. Both these ideas, they come to us as real then. Both become important. In the beginning, even though a person is religious, in the sense of having some formal religious affiliation, or is brought up in some kind of religious practice, then you perform those religious practices like do worship or go to different religious places or observe certain religious rites. But the idea there is that, well, they are to be observed so that my worldly life goes on without hindrance. Like I pray to God so that maybe that God will keep me healthy and it will not make me get affected by all this virus that is going around. It will affect everybody, but because I am praying to God, it may leave me alone. So, or some, I will probably hit a jackpot, I'll get a lottery. I have seen many people, they buy a lottery ticket and then keep it in the shrine so that the God will bless that, and then they will hit a big jackpot. It is, I am not at all exaggerating, friends. This is, I have actually seen. And why? Because God is someone, world is important, money is important, my health, physical health is important, the health of my kith and kin, that is important. All these things important, and maybe God is probably a factor that can contribute to keep it well. So God is only seen in that term, not as reality. But when one starts meditating, now the focus starts becoming different. It is then God becomes important, not for the world, but for God. That it is, the world is real, but God is the governor of the world. See, the change has taken place in the awareness. Then, as it develops further, the world appears to be just a passing show. And that as it actually is, that it, the things come and go. Whatever you felt, if we just think of our lives as babies, we had different ideas. The biggest thing in the life of, say, a little girl is her doll. That is the biggest thing. And what Santa Claus is going to bring in the Christmas, that is the biggest thing that the children think. It is. And therefore, love is for that. They don't understand why all these different people, grown-up people, they are thinking of many other things. If you want to make world happy, why you require that United Nations and all such things? Just supply enough candies and the world will be happy. Why? It is no need to think of anything else. So, this is an attitude that in the childhood we all have such ideas. But now we laugh at them. Things change. Our priorities change. Requirements change. The people who were once upon a time very friendly, we may not remember them later on. Things go on becoming different. So this world is changing. What it is, we don't know. So that awareness comes that God is real, the world is not real. Like the waves, the names and forms on the world come and go. On the ocean, that is the substratum of the waves, that remains. So God is seen as the substratum of this world. And then God becomes the most important thing in life. And there you find then the source of everything that you are otherwise also seeking in life, but not getting. It is because we don't go to the source where they are available. Like we discussed this idea many times that we want happiness. Now you want happiness, so like the child goes to the candy to get happiness. Grown-up people have different candies, that's all. Basically the same idea that it is, and they have different their dolls. The little Mary, 2-year-old Mary has this her Barbie, so she likes that. When that Mary becomes 20 years old, she requires different Barbie, that's all. It is not that it is very different. But do you get happiness through that? It is changing something. It is we do not get to the source. When you get to the source, you will get it. So, what is the source of all that we seek? Through analysis of our experience, that introspection and analysis of our experience, we come to see these things, and thus we know that our true self, which is Lord, that is the source of all. And now the question is, how am I to experience it? So this is the hints or the guidance given to us that meditate in this form. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is mostly for people like us who are caught in this world. The attraction of names and forms is so strong that even if we know that they are not true, yet it is so difficult to withdraw the mind from that. And thus it becomes so difficult. So therefore the techniques are suggested. You want to do it? Okay, then now listen. It appears difficult. Many give up their spiritual or religious practice thinking that it is impossible. At least for me, many people come and tell me that, Swami, you see, I am not much religious. I didn't grow up like that. And I don't have that temperament at all. So, it is, even though I like it sometimes, it is not for me. It is too difficult for me. Well, what is difficult, if you apply a proper technique, becomes easy. Difficult and easy, it is just the question of putting the right efforts with right method. If you apply right method, then it is easy. If you do not apply the right method, you can go on working, it won't come. So the right method, psychologically suitable method is suggested here. That think of God with this sound symbol, because name has a very big power to hold our mind to something. We had discussed this idea sometimes in different contexts, that because of name, a thing starts appearing real. Give it a name and it becomes real. Like you say, dollar. So real for us, you know, dollar. What is it? If you see, it is a name. What can you show me a dollar? You cannot show me a dollar. You may give me a bill. This is a dollar. Well, this is a piece of paper. How does it become dollar? There is a big idea of money, government, means of exchange, and so forth. There, it is Otherwise, it is a piece of paper. What is a dollar? It is a name. But then things become real. And we have all these different names. You give a name like, say, I should say Vishwanath. How becomes real? What is real there? The material particles are continuously changing. Every moment it is different. But we all know that I am seeing the same Vishwanath that I saw a few days back. In the previous class he was there, so he came again, the same Vishwanath, and the same person who gave the Bhagavad Gita class last Friday, he is giving this now also. Although the matter is continuously shifting and changing, what is real then? Just the name gives the sense of being real. And therefore, God also has to be given a name. And it is said, Om is the best name for it. Therefore, in our tradition, this idea will come in Bhagavad Gita again and again. It comes in many Upanishads that what is this Om? It is said that all your spiritual practice is condensed in this Om. It is, all scriptures are condensed in it. Therefore, it becomes, when you think of Om in this particular way, there is a method of doing it. The symbol and the symbology, that which is symbolized, that needs to be connected properly. If the symbol and symbolized is they are not connected, then it is the symbol will be there, it will not have any effect. Like if your car is not put in the gear, if it is you only start the car and then keep on pressing the gas without putting it in the gear, then the car doesn't move, it only will make a big sound. It is because the engine is moving, but it is not connected to car. So, the power transmission is not happening. So, similarly, if the symbol is not properly connected with symbolized, then you may go on repeating the name. Nothing will happen there. Just as if you do not put that car in gear and just press on the gas, it won't work. So, similarly, there was a great Sufi saint in India, Kabir. He says that otherwise what happens that he says you keep on repeating the name with the rosary. Then he says the rosary moves in the hand. Rosary moves in the hand, and your lips move and tongue move in the mouth. But mind doesn't move with it, because the two are not properly connected. You made hundreds of rounds of rosary, but the mind did not make a single turn. So he says that is not of much use. The symbol has to be connected with the symbolized. So he has given the method how one should do it. Through that, it only provides us a handle if you want to use it. It provides us the lever to achieve that work. Like if you want to take out a screw, then okay, screwdriver is a tool for it. You use the screwdriver and then it will do. But if you only touch the screwdriver and nothing, if you don't turn it, it will not work. So there is the proper method in doing it. When we do it, then naturally we will see the difference. The transformation takes place. Bhagavad Gita, as we always see, it is a science of transforming. It is a guidance provided for the journey. So it is absolutely not necessary for those who do not want to take up the journey. And again, not necessary for those who have already completed the journey. It is for those who want to progress on that journey, those who want to take up that journey, for them it is given. Like the directions that we get for going somewhere. If you only keep on looking at the direction 1,000 times, you don't get there. It is for going, they are useful. So similarly, for leading our spiritual life, these directions become very useful, very important. So he says that how it is to be done, that in the 13th verse we saw that if you do it like this, then you go to the highest. Yaprayati tejan deham. When you give up the body, you attain to the highest. And now Lord says in the 14th verse that it is not difficult. It is in fact easy. If you do it is easy. If you don't do it is difficult. And that is with everything. If you do it is not difficult at all. But we have to do it. Ananya chetah satatam yo mam smarati nityashah tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yoginah. To the ever restrained yogi who constantly remembers me every day with his mind on nothing else, O Partha, I am easily accessible. He is really easily accessible if we are doing this. What? Ananya chetaha satatam. Ananya chetaha means the mind should not be running around or towards hundreds of things. It is the nature of the mind to go run after so many things. Even if you like something in this world, you cannot put the mind on it for a long time. For some time, you like it. But then some mind has the nature, goes to something else. It is not that always the mind will go to something. So, that training has to be given to mind to keep it constantly on God. How will it happen? As it has been told earlier, know that whatever you want is available there. So, therefore, whatever you want, you have to go to God. So, the mind will always then be turning towards God. And like if you have a shopping complex, where everything that you want is available, then whatever you want, you go there. You don't have to go to any other place. So similarly, whatever you seek in life, it is available in God. So like that, turn the mind constantly to God. There alone, everything that we are seeking is available at nothing else. And then the next beautiful word used is satatam. Yo mam smarati nityasya. Satatam means without break. In this practice, it is important for any attainment, for those, for example, who want to train in music, they are told every day you should practice. And that training of the voice or whatever other instrument you want to play, you have to do it every day and in a disciplined way. Not that did one day 3 hours and then for 3 months forgot about it. This will not do. Without a break, it should go on satatam. And then smarati nityashah. That for a long time, always it should go on. Shankara, in his beautiful commentary on this verse, has mentioned these two, that satatam, this word, continuously indicates that it has to be done without a break. It is to be done in a disciplined manner. Not that you did it today and then forgot for some time and then again you did it. It is not like that. You have to keep doing it in a disciplined manner, continuously. That continuity is of great importance. Many people complain that I tried meditation, it didn't work. But did you do it continuously? No, they say. I did for a little while and then stopped. Then I didn't do. So how will it then bear result? It will not. It has to be continuous. Satatam. Do it. Then for a long time, Nityashaha, Shankara says, it signifies that it should be done for a long time. Don't expect very quick results. It is not a course that a university offers, say, for 6 months. Shankara mentions exactly these words. Not for 6 months or a year. It is, you have to keep on doing it for a long time. How long? How long? Many times this question gets asked, that how long am I to do this spiritual practice? Well, till you get liberated, that is the answer. How long does it take depends on the speed, how intently do you do it and so forth. There is no time-bound answer to it. It doesn't depend on time, how much time you are going to spend. It may happen next second, or it may happen after many lifetimes. After many lives are spent, maybe this will happen. Or it may happen right away. It is the question of just having the awareness that I am divine. If this awareness comes, then well, you have achieved what you wanted to achieve. Just to give you an example, this example is commonly given in Vedanta, that suppose you are seeing the snake where there actually is a rope. Now if you ask that how long does it take for the snake to become rope, can there be an answer for it? How long will it take for me to get the rope where I am seeing the snake? When as quickly or as long as you go and see it, it is, we are not ready to see. We feel that no, it is going to bite, because we are sure that it is snake. So we are not ready to examine. We will remain far away and then keep on cogitating. We will not use the methods that are prescribed by the sages, and will therefore miss the point. One should be ready to do the practices as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Shankara says, till death, keep on doing it. Because that is the right course for life. So why will you go on the wrong path? Why do you want to go on the wrong path? Can you say that you should be following right path only for 3 months and then start following the wrong path? It is meaningless to say that. How long should I be going on the right track? Okay, as long as you want to go on the right track. If you don't need to go, then it is another thing. But if you need to go, then it is better to go on the right track. So, nitya, that is a very beautiful expression here. And then, tasyaham sulabhah. To such a person, I am very easily attainable. Very easily attainable. How easily? Friends, the easiest thing in life is to attain to God. Easiest. Other things are not only difficult, impossible really speaking to attain. It is why impossible? Because we will be otherwise seeking where they are not. How long otherwise will it take me to get happiness? There is no possibility. It is, you are, otherwise you will be running after impossible. Here you will be at least running for something difficult maybe, taking long time. But what is the wise thing to do to get something after striving for a long time? Or go on just striving without getting it? Because if we go to in the wrong direction, it is very easy to touch oneself. Isn't it? Touching oneself, my body, is easy. But if I am seeing body only in the mirror and trying to touch myself, how long will it take? It will never happen. You will be only touching the glass. It is similarly in this world, when we run after so many other things, we will be always running after impossible. So it is always wise to run after something difficult in comparison to running after something impossible. So he says it is the easiest thing. And in fact, if we see, we do many, many much more difficult things in life. Is it easy, for example, to study, even to pass the high school exam? One has to put in studies for how many? 12 years, you see. For 12 years, if you put in studies, and then you pass the high school exam. And here our Sam wants it to happen it in 2 days. I want God realization now. For high school thing, that silly examination, passing that, he is ready to wait for 12 years. But for this spiritual wisdom, I have to have it now, without doing any efforts, without putting in any efforts. So it is our expectations about the spiritual development are kind of, don't you think, irrational? And we are for that high school now, this thing, examination, we are ready to put in 12 years so that I will get a high school diploma. For getting PhD, I am ready to put in another 7, 8, 10, whatever years. And that is fine. But this God realization give me a pill that I will swallow and that will be it. It is not something that is that only shows that we don't want it. If many times our question about I want an easy method means really I don't want it. It is, are we ready to pay the price for it? Do you understand the value of it? When we understand the great value of something, we are ready to pay the price of it. When we do not understand the value, we are not ready to pay the price for it. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell this story. Somebody had a very precious stone, precious gem, would be about $200,000. So he takes it to the grocery guy, and the man says, "Well, fine, look, very good. How much will you give me for this?" And then that fellow, he is selling vegetables. He said that, "Well, I can give you 9 pounds of eggplants for that." Only 9 pounds of eggplants? 10 pounds at least? No, 9 pounds is already, I spoke too much. But no more than that. He took then that gem to a cloth seller, and then that said, "I can give you 9 yards of cloth for that, nothing more than that." So it's like that. We do not understand the value. It is the tremendously precious thing, and we don't want to pay the price. That means we don't get it. It is a very important thing to know that if we are ready to give, we get it. It is, there is a nice poem by a Sufi saint, Hafiz. Hafiz poems are very beautiful, and so much meaning stuffed in small these verses that he has written. He says in that the cause of your suffering in life is your silly heckling over the price. You keep on heckling about it and you will miss it. The whole life will be just spent in that. So this is a very precious thing that you want it, take it. It is really given very cheap. It is, these things do not come to people who are really not looking for it. Even if they find, they will not take it. It is otherwise the one who knows will give the right price and get it. He took that gem to the jeweler and the jeweler saw, examined. Eyes suddenly became, started bulging. Wow, I was looking for something. He immediately wrote a check for $200,000, said that this is a big, good bargain. That fellow was not ready otherwise to give even 9 pounds of eggplants. So it is, that is the, how much do we value the spiritual wisdom in life? That is the question. One emperor story is told, an emperor in India, that somehow he was going somewhere and he found at one place that one man was holding the sandal of his guru. His guru's sandals were seen there with that man. And he said, I want those. These are my guru's. I want them. They were all, the guru was an ascetic. So they were half torn and like that, not really worth having. But my guru's sandals, I want them. Now this man said, well, I can't give you. I want these too. I will give you, what do you want? Then he said, give me the whole kingdom, then I will give you. The king said, okay, I give you the whole kingdom. Give me that. And he took those sandals, went to his guru running, and told, Guruji, Guru, I got these. And with a little pride said, do you know how much I had to pay for it? I gave my whole kingdom for it. Guru said, good, you got them for cheap, real cheap, Because the idea is very beautiful here, that these are priceless things. These things cannot be just weed. It is the highest thing that you are getting in the whole life will become illumined and free from suffering. It will become, you will attain to the highest freedom in life. So he says that in the next verse, the 15th verse. Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam naapnuvanti mahatmanah sansiddhim paramam gataah. The great souled ones, having attained me, have no more birth, which is the abode of misery and non-eternal, for they have attained the highest perfection. So we all want to know what shall I get? Suppose I realize God, then what benefit will I get by that? Will I have any use of that God? What is the practical utility of getting God? He said, well, you will not have to get into this prison called world and suffer there again and again. You will be liberated from this prison called this body and this world. This is our prison. In this prison, you will not have to come again and again. How is this? He says, this is Dukkhalayam. Alaya means home. It is our storehouse. this is the storehouse of suffering. This world is storehouse of suffering. The sooner we understand it, the better it will be for us. There is no happiness to be found in this world except in our true self or God. We can go on running after all the different things that we seek, but we will not get happiness because it is this house of misery. That is, therefore, Buddha called this as the first noble truth, that everything is fraught with suffering. That is the first noble truth. Why first noble truth? And why noble truth? It is noble because normally people don't understand this. They feel that if they make a little more attempt, if they get a better job, then probably they will be all set for happiness. Their income is they are getting only 50,000 a year. If they start getting 60,000, then their life will be so good. Well, they don't have to go too far. They have to just look at the life of someone who is getting 60,000, and they will know that if they get 60,000, their life will be like this fellow. Is that fellow happy? No, that fellow thinks that if I get 100,000, probably my life will be happy. It is somehow we think that if we get more money, our lives will be very happy. Just see the life of so many millionaires. Not that they are any way happier than the person who has nothing, a beggar on the street. Don't think that their happiness and those things are really very different. It is only an idea that if I get more money, I will be more happy. It is a completely wrong equation. But we think like that and go for no misery. We think that other things when we get, we will become happy. This world is misery, misery, misery. Nothing else. This is, the suffering is the very nature of existence here. That is why Buddha says that this is the first noble truth. Why first? So that our attempt now, our efforts can be done in the right direction. And we will not waste time and energy in going in the wrong direction. Go in the right direction. First, therefore, has to be understood that in this direction, there is only misery. Then will we go there? Then we will not go there. It is only because we don't understand that it has misery. We keep on going in that direction more and more. It is when we know that in this direction there is only misery and suffering, then we will not go there. So that is why it is the first noble truth. Then he tells that yes, there is the cause for this suffering. That is the second noble truth. That why he says cause? Because there is the cause and effect relationship. The suffering, if it has no cause, then we have no way to eradicate it. The diagnosis is important for curing a disease. If you know that this is the bacteria that is causing it, so now we got the diagnosis. And then now question is how to eliminate that bacteria and the problem will be solved. So what is this cause for this? There is first of all the cause. The third is, can that cause be removed? Yes. There is a state, Buddha says, that there is a state where that cause can be eliminated. Can we do it? Yes, that is the fourth noble truth. Yes, each of us can do it. there is a path, there is a method, there is a connection. If you ask me, can we go to the second floor? Said, yes, there is a staircase. You can go, because there is a staircase, there is an elevator, you can go by that. If had it not been there, then how can I go? It is there, but I cannot go. This Buddha says, no, you can go there. But you have to climb the stairs, that Ashtanga, Eightfold Noble Path. So, very beautiful idea, friends. So, this is also the same idea that Maam Upetya. If you come to me, then what will happen? You will become free from suffering. This is the freedom from suffering. Who wants suffering? Is there anybody here who says that, well, I want suffering? Do you want, Dorothy, sufferings? No, enough of it, is it not? There is no one who would say that I want suffering. Then if you don't want suffering, this is the way out of suffering. It is this world is suffering. It is, if you go to a place, do you knowingly will go in a place where it is written, if you come here, we are going to rob, cheat and kill you. Who is going to enter there? You will not enter. But that is what we do. No, it is written there that we will be. But we feel that that other fellow got robbed and cheated, but I am not going to be. It is... this is the way, if you act in this manner, you will not have to get into that place where you will be robbed and killed. So, dukkha layam ashashvatam, this is the place of suffering. There is, friends, no escape. How can we understand this? You know, it is very difficult to get this truth home. That in this place, you have, unless there is a radical change in your direction, in your awareness, there is no hope of getting rid of suffering. Just as if somebody has cancer, and then applying more cosmetics is not going to cure the cancer. Similarly, we are just applying more cosmetics. That let me have a nice and bigger house, let me have more money, let me have a newer car, let me have a different wife or a different husband, and all such things, you know. What will happen thereby? It is cosmetic changes. It is not going to bring the cure to the cancer. So, what can cure it? He says that Maam Upetya. Coming to God alone, that is, then you don't come there, you get the highest realization of truth. You get whatever you are seeking, the thing remains to be achieved, and thus you attain to the goal of your life. And we all will be able to attain to goal of our life in this manner. So Lord, through great compassion, is telling this again and again. Shankara says that scriptures, they are like our mother. Even like the mother tells again and again, the child doesn't understand, doesn't want to follow. So, but still the mother makes again and again these attempts. So for children like us, who are not really... very bright, or who do not want to listen, rather adamant. So, the mother describes this scripture, mother tells these things with different analogies, different emphasis again and again. Any questions? Yes, Richard.
The liberation you're talking about implies a shift in consciousness.
Yeah.
From your point of view, did something like that happen to you, and did it change your life drastically?
Well, a good question, rather personal, but yes, it is. Well, I will say yes, that there is a shift, and that is what gives us the conviction that it is like this. Suppose you take up the journey. From here, you will go to, your home in Connecticut. So this is also a journey towards home. So as you start driving, you will soon get to downtown. You will see a change of perception. You were seeing Angel Street. Instead of that, you will start seeing Route 6. Is it not? Yeah, you will start seeing Route 6 instead of seeing Angel Street. A change of perception, is it not? Your awareness changes. Instead of awareness of Angel Street, it is awareness of Route 6. Then you will soon see, instead of awareness of Rhode Island, there will be an awareness of Connecticut. A change in perception. Similarly, this is a spiritual journey, that the awareness starts getting changed. Suppose you sit in your car and you are driving. After 15 minutes, you are still seeing Vedanta Society. What will you feel? You will know that it is you are not going anywhere. You will be sure that you are not going anywhere. But therefore, in answering your question, I would say, no, the consciousness does undergo a change, a shift. And that as you shift, more and more joy, more and more satisfaction, more and more peace starts filling in your life. Yes, John?
Would you say that peace is preceded by pain?
Peace, the question, peace, whether the peace is preceded by pain. Well, yes, peace is preceded by pain, but that the converse is not true. Don't think that because I have pain, I will be soon getting the peace. That don't turn the logic. It is, yes, peace. Before you got peace, there was the pain, and so you could feel the contrast. In that sense, I am saying that before the peace, there was pain. But just because I am having pain doesn't mean so now I will get peace after 5 minutes. No, it is. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya svayam padmanabhasya mukhapadmadvinasrita. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam, eko devo devaki putra eva, eko mantrah tasya namaniyani, karma pyekam tasya devasya seva. Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.